CliffCentral.com.
Hey, Mabale was just asking Ben about catnip, and it's actually the most fascinating thing because people who don't have cats don't know this stuff. I only discovered this because my parents used to have cats. I've actually never had a cat as my own pet. My sister used to have a cat called Sox, S-O-X.
Yeah, I've
And Sox used to go out into the garden. Yeah. She found catnip, and she'd roll around like a drug addict.
Yeah, they do. They become complete and utter junkies.
I've heard about catnip, but I've never actually known what it is. So what? Is it a plant?
Real thing. It's a plant. It's a herb.
Okay.
Only affects cats, from what I can tell.
And it's completely okay for you to give this to your cat?
Well, so my brother's fiancée is a vet, right?
Yeah.
She grows it, like, properly. In their practice, they've got, like, a special, like, thread.
A catnip nursery where they're growing
a special strain of catnip, and she comes around and meows. She knows when it's in the flat already. Like, she goes mental for it. We actually took a slow-mo video of her, like, doing a line. She rolled, and then her eyes get all big.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, the pupils dilate. They're actually zonked out.
Wow. But then does it also get them, like, horny and stuff?
Well, Miaz's is totally asexual from what I can tell.
Well, she's been spayed, Gareth. That's the circle of life there.
All right.
It's run its course.
Over for her there.
It depends on time of life, I guess, huh?
Jeepers. So do you have catnip dealers? Is that a thing or not so much?
Well,
it's amazing. It's even called, its Latin name is Nepeta cataria, catnip.
Yeah.
It's a species of Nepeta, blah, 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 blah. It comes from southern and central Europe, Middle East, Central Asia, parts of China, but it can be grown anywhere. The names catnip and catmint are derived from the intense attractions most cats have towards them. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Well, I'm considering buying a contraption that you put catnip in, right? And then your cat, like, it's like if you've ever been to a rave, you see people on ecstasy for the first time. So, and they're all touchy-feely. It's kind of similar to that.
Mm. So apparently it is a repellent to flies, the important drugs in there, but it contains a feline attractant called nepetalactone, right?
It's one of the funniest things. If you have a cat, get catnip, sprinkle it out, throw it on the carpet or something, and then watch what happens.
Where would you?
It would be so funny.
Where would you get the catnip? Just from your vet, or can you walk into any pet store and say, "Yeah, I'll take an ounce of catnip"?
Common behavior.
Bag of catnip,
common behaviors cats display when they sense the bruised leaves or stems of catnip are rubbing on the plant, rolling on the ground, pawing at it, licking at it, and chewing it. Consuming much of the plant is followed by drooling, sneepiness, anxiety, leaping around, and purring. Some growl, meow, scratch, or bite at the hand holding it.
Yeah, I'm all of the above.
Wow.
But look at this contraption here. It's amazing. It's got. Yeah, I'm so going to buy this. I'm going to buy this from Yowzers and I'll take a video. It's going to be hilarious.
Very good. Sarah, good morning.
Morning, team. I just called to say that I love the show, guys. And this is the first time I'm listening live because I've been, like, on holiday. So I just thought I have to call. Why not?
This is fantastic. You've just made my morning. I love this. I love when somebody calls I love when somebody calls for the first time.
It's always nervous because you feel like the whole spotlight's on you. So you're like, shit, what if I mess up? But I feel like I know you guys, so, like, it's okay.
Ah, please. Call us again. This is fantastic. I got a song for you. How long are you on holiday for?
No, like, I'm back to school today because I was, like, on recess.
Happy days are here again. Sarah's still on holiday, even if she goes back to school again. Happy days are here again. You see how easy it is to call us here. You pick up your phone and you dial it, dear. You just call 086-1555. How does the rest of the number go?
086-1555-189.
189. Thank you, Flex. All right. Thank you, Sarah. Love you.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
All right, honey. Bye-bye. There we go. I'm not happy. I love happy people. Love happy people. It's the best thing ever, right?
Can I taste your juice?
Yes, sure, baby.
Sure. I mean, that's too much of a personal question for me.
Listen to this. This is a homeless woman. They went up to a homeless woman in New York and they asked her a question about voting Trump or Hillary, and this is what she said.
La conte con dato secondo. La conte con dato diventato la tu.
So what did she say?
You tell me what that means. That was her answer. So they said, "Do you? Would you vote Trump or Clinton?" She's been overdoing the catnip. So so we got hold of it and we remixed it. Great song, right? All right, Flax, what's up?
If you listen distinctively to the words she's saying,
yes,
she pays mention to the word taco,
oh, right,
which is a Mexican food, yes, which will not be a vote Trump.
Oh, so you're saying you've interpreted her to mean that she's a Clinton supporter.
She says it herself.
All right, well, let's take a listen. I don't even hear taco, but I'll take
taco
I'll
either.
Take your word for it. Unbelievable.
I have a fine-tuned ear.
No.
Hey, listen, do you want to hear about how the sex tourism industry is taking a bit of a change? It's taking a bit of a 180.
What's happening there?
Okay, so you know, the much publicized notion of men seeking sex tourism, we're used to that, right? So predominantly white European and North American men head to poor countries like Thailand. They go to Cambodia or to different countries on the continent here in Africa with the main purpose of having sex with local women, right? Now, some people take an issue with this, saying, oh, no, well, these men are predators and what they're doing is wrong. But because it's nearly impossible to police, it's not considered technically to be an illegal thing. But seemingly, women are increasingly injecting themselves into this world as well, Gareth.
So women are going looking for sex in countries where there are poor men.
Yes, specifically middle-aged white European women. And it seems that their destination of choice is Africa, here, the continent.
Oh, yeah.
And what they do
get themselves some cocoa.
They come here specifically for like a little sex holiday where they get to pay the local men to have sex with them. I mean, if you go to a place like Zanzibar, for example, you'll encounter some of the locals who will be walking up and down the beach trying to sell you trinkets, you know, little things that you can take back home with you.
Am I making you hot?
Yes, yes. But apparently some of these guys will also offer the tourists some sex. And this seems to be on the rise among the women.
Are you stroking your cock?
So these European women,
European women who are either divorced or just fed up with their husbands at home, they go on a little girls trip, they come here, and they basically, they behave like predators with the local men.
Are you thick like a can of soup?
They pay for sex.
I can just see it now. Shirley Valentine 2, Rough Riding in Rwanda.
How much will it cost me, Sonny?
Yeah, they're no longer taking trips to Ibiza. They're rather coming to the continent. They're coming on a sex holiday.
They're not choosing a place based on the drinks menu or what the tourist attractions are. They're now choosing it based purely on what the guys look like and whether they're available for hire. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm wearing a negligee.
Honey.
You told me my strip club wouldn't work.
Oh, your strip club will. As long as you open in Zanzibar.
Look at that.
That's maybe it, man.
Isn't that the most gorgeous thing you've ever seen? And look at his body, muscles. You work out. Oh, I'm going to come. Oh, I love it. Oh, yeah. Why don't you bob all over my chest?
I reckon this is a better industry than your strip club idea. All you do is you get a small agency,
right?
And then you find these Angela Merkel types, and then just lure them over here with shirtless pics of like boys on beaches.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Flax, if those friends of yours who are going to audition for
Geordie Shore.
If they don't make it on there, then Mubs has got a business she's opening up.
Yes, like send them my way, but they have to be ripped, eh? We're not messing around here.
Next time I go to a club, I'm going to look out for these European women and see how they operate.
I don't know if they're that many in South Africa, because they're definitely looking for, like, African. They're looking for Tanzania. They're looking for Zanzibar. They're looking for
Kenya.
They're looking for Ghana, Nigeria, Congo.
So you guys are saying big penises.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what it is.
So white guys.
It's a sex trip.
You know, again, I got to say, life is so great if you're good looking and if you've got a great body. And of course, let's not take away from any guy or girl who keeps themselves in good shape. It's got to be so much better if you just have a six pack in you. You're just a gorgeous looking dude, or you're a gorgeous looking girl. Like, life is there for you, for the taking. You walk in looking like that, and boom, you're making money.
Well, the thing is, yeah, if you're attractive, everybody either wants to be your friend, or they want to help you, or they want to have sex with you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's always that they want you.
What size penis do you have?
They're more accommodating. If you ask for help, they're more willing to help you. It's just much easier if you're good looking.
Oh.
Can she stop, please?
She's very horny. She just got out of Europe and she's on a mad tear through Africa.
Jeepers.
But then what happens is, like, anything to declare? Like, you know, like, what do you have, a business or pleasure? Oh, pleasure.
Yeah. All right, a couple of messages coming through. Just let that percolate in your head for a little while, because there might be some South African men who are looking to start their own business.
Yeah.
And this could be something. Mabali will be more than happy to host you in her club that she's going to buy with the winnings from the lotto.
Yes.
So if you're thinking about it, guys, this is your big break could come with Moloy's.
I'll be your pimpress.
Moloy's will have a Shabin in the front and a strip club in the back.
Yeah.
Moloy's
and
boys.
And then in the back, they'll have Moloy's boys. There we go.
Yeah.
And then behind the strip club, which is in the back is where you can indulge your fantasies.
I'm telling you.
You got to open this up with Jonty. He knows the industry.
You know,
make him a minority shareholder.
I reckon you can even get like a tourism grant to get going. This is a big business.
Mm.
Percolate that idea for a second or two. Here's some messages we got to get to. First of all, I got a picture here from Michelle. She sent me a picture of a cat called Leia. Leia's a beautiful looking cat, but she's on the hard stuff.
Yeah.
There's a picture of Leia, and you can see her eyes are dilated. she's on the catnip in a big way. Serious cokehead cat. Mm. Mike says, an indictment on free speech whose motto on their webpage is to give everyone the power to create and share ideas and information instantly without barriers. He's talking about Twitter. Twitter has banned outspoken conservative journalist Milo Yiannopoulos. He's actually, I know him, and we've communicated with each other on Twitter before. Deactivated his account for comments following his scathing review of the feminist Ghostbusters remake. Have you heard this review? It's actually worth having a look at. I'm going to see if I can't find it quickly. Because Milo Yiannopoulos is a conservative commentator. He's a gay guy from Britain who supports Trump. And his review of Ghostbusters has been interpreted by some as being really anti-feminist. But it's worth having a listen to this, because he says it's the biggest steaming pile of shit movie in the world.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find his review, because it's worth me reading just little bits from it. He doesn't hold back. He says, I was going to give Ghostbusters a glowing review. Seriously, can you imagine a better troll extolling the virtues of a film that my loyal readership have been warring with social justice warriors over for months? So he says, I strive to be honest with my audience. I went into Ghostbusters with an impartial, clear mindset, like some tall, slim, devastatingly handsome statue of justice. So, you know, he thinks he's kind of hot looking. He says, I don't know what to tell you. Ghostbusters is terrible. It's more obvious than reading an EKG meter in Zool's bedroom. The only frame of reference in which this movie functions as a meta movie, in which the Ghostbusters franchise is treated like a vampire. Blah, 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 blah. He says, the overarching problem with Ghostbusters is the script is a greater abomination to God than any of the demons in the franchise. I'm sure they could have done a worse job, but they'd have to have studied Tobin's spirit guide to summon a script from an even deeper circle of hell. Mostly, he says, it's a lack of intelligence. The original movie, the bad guys weren't actually the ghosts. No, the bad guys were clueless bureaucrats in government. In this film, the enemy is men. Whether the government ends up playing dad or not, every man in the movie is a combination of malevolent and moronic. The chick busters shame the mayor so much that they end up getting government funding at the end. Like all feminists, they can only survive by sucking on the teat of big government. So he goes into it and deconstructs it politically. And he said that the... here's what he said about the three women on the show.
Aren't there four?
Sorry, four women. Yeah, right. So here it is. Let me just read this because he's hardcore about it. He goes, despite pandering to this kind of woman who thinks misandry is a positive lifestyle choice, Ghostbusters is remarkably unkind to its female leads. Abigail is repellent and fat. Holtzman is a clownish lip-syncing drag queen. Erin is a forgettable low-rent Jennifer Aniston clone. Patty is a two-dimensional racist stereotype by even the most forgiving measure. So, for this, he's been banned from Twitter.
Why? Because somebody reported him?
One of the actresses left Twitter in a huff because she felt like she was getting too much hate mail, and she mentioned Milo as being one of the people who was responsible for this. And so Twitter have banned him. And that's sad. I hate seeing any kind of speech, even if someone is being horrible. I hate seeing them being counted out because now I don't have the choice of listening to them or not.
But can't he just start a new Twitter account under a pseudonym or whatever?
He could. He had a couple of 100,000 followers.
But, I mean, what are Twitter's rules? Are they allowed to shut you down at will? Or does somebody have to report you and go through the process of, you know... Like, there's a whole process that you go through when you report someone on Twitter.
Exactly. There's a whole thing. But, I mean, it's very easy to get banned from Facebook or Twitter. You remember I once put up a picture of you and Leanne and I.
Yes.
It wasn't really us. It was a picture from that show Little Britain where these two men dressed as women with fake breasts.
In fat suits.
Yeah. And I said, and there's a little skinny white guy in between the black woman and the white woman.
Who the black woman was me. The white woman was
you. Yeah. And and I got banned.
You were the skinny white guy.
And I got banned from Facebook for a while. And I had to start a new account.
I think it was because of the nudity thing. Because there were
it wasn't nudity.
I know.
It was fake.
They were not real breasts, but it was fat suits that, you know, that made it look like breasts.
But one person can complain.
Yeah.
And it shuts you down. So it's crazy. I don't understand it. But there we go. The latest news. That is from... who's that from? Who just told me? Mike. Thank you, Mike, for the info. And lots of pictures of cats on catnip. And then Monique says, hey, Flax, have you lost any weight yet? And if so, is it because of Pokemon Go?
So, no. I don't know if I've lost weight yet.
Hasn't it only been like 6 days?
Yeah, it's only been about 2 weeks. I have noticed my body is tightening in places.
But you have been doing that...
I've been doing Movement X.
Movement X, right.
It's very tough. Like, end of it, I'm sweating, I'm tired.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on a strict diet, very strict diet. I've had to go buy one of these meal prep bags, which is like half the size of me. Uh-huh. And I prep my meals... I drink green tea after every meal, and I've now just started having chamomile tea before bed. Huh. I think give me another 2 more weeks, and I'll probably have lost maybe 2 or 3 kgs.
Nice.
But definitely tightening of the body is something I've noticed.
All right. Good for
and
you.
And a lot Max. Of energy.
Good for you. So, Monique, there's your answer. Maxine says, hey, guys, do you know who Trump's role model is? It's Richard Nixon. How scary is that? Trump reckons that Nixon was a very good president. Now, let's not forget that Richard Nixon was the president who had to leave the Oval Office in shame, remember?
I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
Well, it turned out you were.
Yeah.
So if that's your role model.
Crooked Nixon?
Crooked Nixon?
Crooked much?
I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
And then, of course, we have Crooked Hillary. Crooked Hillary, fuck.
So crooked is a part of the lexicon here. All right. And then, Mabali, don't forget to mention the Beach Boys and that the women prey on. Roscoe, he wants you to mention the guys on the beach with their shirts off that women prey on.
Yeah, no, I said so.
Well, Roscoe's just letting you know again.
Roscoe,
well,
Roscoe is a beach boy. He just wants extra press.
All right. No, that's fine. Roscoe, get in touch with me. Let's talk.
Which city in South Africa has the best-looking guys so we can start exporting these guys to these hungry Western European women?
No, we don't export them. They come here because they need to spend the money here. All right, well, let's, the tourism.
Let's gather them together.
Which part of South Africa has the best-looking guys?
Yeah, in your experience, Mubs. Not that you're the... Not that you're... I'm not saying you're so experienced. Don't get me wrong.
Gareth, I have to stop you there. These are middle-aged Eastern European fraulines probably going to come over here. They'd have to be... We're not looking for, like, the Mups Mapunyanis of this country. We're looking for guys looking to get paid. I reckon we turn East London into the sex hub capital for these women.
Yeah.
Not a lot happens in East London, right?
No.
So we make it
famous. They've got beaches.
Yeah.
And they've got people who need employment.
Yeah, you're onto something there, Ben.
Comment. All right. Yes, Flex.
I personally feel that the most, like, the best good-looking men and women, they come from a place called Umamzintoti, wherever that is.
Umamzintoti.
Umamzintoti.
Because there's, like, nothing else to do there but get ripped and tan.
Umamzintoti. Yeah, all right. You know where that is? That's just south of Durban.
Oh. Mm. How south?
No, well, where the old airport was. So it's
like
basically.
If I'm in Umhlanga.
In Umhlanga. Then you go from Umhlanga. Okay. Umhlanga. You go past.
Mamamzintoti.
You leave Umhlanga. You go through Etiquini. And after Etiquini, on the left hand side, as you're on your way to Umgababa, then you see Umhlanzimtoti. On that part of the coast, it's not, and it's just a little way up from what's that other place with a funny name? Mbogo Mtwini.
Joe, I didn't even know that one. Look at you, man.
I like that name. Damn. That's why I remember it. Okay, so that's where it is. You reckon that's where the hot people come from?
Yes.
All right. That's what you heard or that's what you've seen?
No, I was in Mozambique one year and this whole group came from there and they were all just good looking. And I asked, like, what you guys do there? They said nothing but play rugby, gym, tan, go to the beach.
Okay, so in other words, they are where Geordie Shore are going to find their customers. Yeah. Okay, I got you. Here are a couple of other messages before we move on with some news. Ashley says, catnip is full on drugs for cats, which is exactly what you expect. If any animal other than humans are going to have drugs, of course it would be cats.
Yeah.
One of my cats loved it, but the other one just didn't respond well. A bad trip every time. Just sat and freaked out in the corner. Greg says, are these European Fraulein's coming for the BBC.
The big black dick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cock one.
Yeah. Well, otherwise it would be BBD.
Yeah.
All right. And then Carla says, Ben, there is a Cards Against Humanity special on one day only.
Yep. Thanks. Got it. Bought it.
You said you wanted coming. Isn't that nice of Carla to let you know?
Thanks. Yeah. It's a big day for all of us.
Vika has just sent in a picture of her cat, which looks completely out of control, tripping. Bitch be tripping.
See, I told you it's a real thing.
Pedro says Cape Town's the best looking guys. And Romain says everyone has a six pack in them. It's just covered by lard. Adriano says, I'm sitting in the airport in Dubai listening to you guys. I have an 8-hour layover. I'm going to be in Tomorrowland this weekend from Amsterdam and Portugal and my homeland, Madeira. I have only one free hour Wi-Fi, so please don't waste it talking about stupid celebrities, especially not the Kardashians.
Mm-hmm.
All right, who's on the line?
Lucas.
Let's go to Lucas. Let's see what Lucas has to say. Yo, Lucas, what's up, brother?
Yo, what up?
What's happening?
Nothing much. I'm just saying, maybe my body must go to any areas that are next to the sea. Like, I was in Mozambique on a holiday, and early in the morning, I was taking some photos of the sunrise, and I met this old man. They were very old, but all of them had six pegs. And I just said, like, if I had to pick up a fight, I'll get a fish in there. Like, they're all tough and buff. So I think any area that has fishermen, you know, Mabane can get hold of this.
Hang on. Are you telling me that even the old men in Mozambique have six packs?
The fishermen, the old men there, because they work so hard to pull the net and everything in there. They had six packs. I couldn't believe it.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know, I do find myself of late gravitating towards an older age group. There's just something very sexy about a man in his 40s.
Yeah. George Clooney, look out.
He's like 50 something.
Sorry, is that too old? All right, thanks, Lucas. Thanks, man. Is he too old?
Yeah, 50's too old for me right now. 40's, yes.
Discriminate so much. All right, you can call us on 0861-555-189. Let us know what you're up to this morning. You can also message us on WeChat. You could send us a message directly to the screen here in the studio, or you can tweet to us on @cliffcentralcom. Everybody who has been here from the get-go knows how to do this, but you might be new this morning. I mean, we had a call from Sarah earlier. She's never been able to call in before. So now you know how easy it is. We'll speak to Dwayne DeLocca just now. Dwayne is the go-to guy when it comes to Olympics. He's been to the Olympic Games before. He has commentated on FIFA, CAF, the World Cup. That's the Football World Cup. He's got an interesting history in broadcasting. I played some small part in that right in the beginning. We used to work together. So we've got lots to talk to Dwayne about. And we'll get to that momentarily. What else do you have for us?
Well, Gareth, to be completely honest, it wasn't going to be too long before we upgraded, or maybe downgraded, depending on how you feel about it, to Pokemon nudes. Yes, that's where we've taken it. Seemingly, people are now posting pictures of themselves hunting for Pokemon either before, after, or during sex. And so what happens is you've now got pictures all over the internet of girls in precarious positions, barely clothed, hunting for Pokemon. And they're being dubbed Pokemon nudes.
Great.
I mean,
we knew this was going to happen.
We knew this was going to happen.
It's like everything eventually gets the pornographic element.
It does. It all goes down to this at the end of the day.
It's fantastic, isn't it? Isn't it great?
So, I mean, you've got pictures of girls with Pokemon basically on their butts.
Uh-huh.
With their breasts sticking out.
You're a whore!
There's a picture of a girl up on a pole with a Pokemon on her ass.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, it's very creative at the very least. But, you know, I don't understand for what.
Oh my God, that's crazy!
Yeah, it is.
Flex, are you feeling inspired?
What do you think?
It really just shows you that you can't stop playing Pokemon Go. No matter what you're doing, you got to catch them all. Whether you're in a strip club, whether you're just about to have sex, you catch the Pokemon. But the
how are you doing on that front? Have you caught a lot?
Nah, because you basically have to walk around a lot. I don't do much like exploring. But Justin Bieber is owning Pokemon Go. I know we broke the story, but it happened again where he's in like a crowded place and he legit walks through like just random people playing Pokemon Go and no one notices him. He's standing next to this girl who would have freaked out, would have fainted if she knew she was standing next to Justin Bieber. She glances at him, then goes back to her phone, doesn't even recognize Justin Bieber.
Yeah, she doesn't care because she's more into Pokemon Go than she is into Bieber.
There must have been at least maybe 1,500 people around Justin Bieber and not one recognized him.
Mm.
All looking at their phones. And now what people are doing are, because you can't really trade Pokemons.
Right.
They're selling their Pokemon Go accounts. So one just sold yesterday for £6,000.
Wow.
With like very good Pokemon in it.
It's just, it's unreal.
Get real! Get fucking real!
Oh, man. What to make of this? All right, let's get to Dwayne. We're going to speak to Dwayne DeLocca in a moment or two. The Olympics, how many days away, Ben?
16.
Sure. All right. Dwayne DeLocca is going to help us through understanding our way through these Olympics and whether or not it's going to be as exciting as the Olympics should be, because a lot of people are not even going to be paying attention. A lot of people are very, very put off by the Zika virus, by all the filth, by Rio not being ready. But who knows? These might be a great. These games might be worth watching after all. Yeah, King Kunta. It's our favorite rapper. You like this song, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I do like me some Kendrick.
Kendrick Lamar. I like him too. I reckon he's the coolest rapper alive right now.
Sure, I mean, but I mean, if you ask Flex, it's obviously Drake.
No, but who asked Flex?
Yeah, no one.
Kidding?
Didn't hear anyone say that.
Kendrick Lamar is the greatest rapper around now. I mean, obviously in terms of the greatest ones are dead. Tupac and Notorious B.I.G. And then you got like Snoop, who's always been cool, but he's not the revolutionary here.
No.
Kendrick Lamar's got that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That job. Let's give him credit where it's due. All right, listen, lots to talk about with Dwayne DeLocca. Let me just switch on his microphone and talk to this dude. I haven't seen him in a while. You have no hair at all now.
I know. I'm bald. I'm getting old, Gareth. But these days...
Is it old or is this a look you're going for?
Would you like to see the picture of me with a six-pack on the beach in Tanzania?
Yeah, yes. There's no such pic. Is that a six-pack?
That's me with a six-pack.
Well, you must show Mubs because she'll put you on an app. We're trying to harvest.
You've got a fucking six-pack. Look at this guy.
But you know this.
I did not know this.
We go to the same gym.
Yeah, I don't look at you.
Let me see, Dwayne.
Look at you with your six-pack. Are you getting laid?
Me? Yeah. No, not in years. You know this.
Ooh,
what
okay
the hell's
now
wrong with you? You got a six-pack and you're not getting laid?
I'm in love with my work.
Oh, come on. What a crap excuse that is. Seriously?
Listen, I'm not good-looking like Ben Karpinski.
No, what's going on here?
I have to take my clothes off to look good.
Talk to me, Dwayne. Talk to me about this. You can't have a six-pack and not be maximizing its utility. It's not there for appearances.
Really?
No.
I had no idea.
Come on, you're traveling off to the Olympics. You're going to bag yourself some Brazilian?
Well, that's the best idea.
Huh? Come on. Tell me what's happening.
I'm quiet on the issue. Let's just say
no, why? Why would you hold out on this?
Me? I have no reason to.
Dwayne DeLocca is a commentator of renown. He is probably most famous in South Africa for being the voice linked to Siphiwe Tshabalala's opening goal at the 2010 FIFA World Cup. What a job that was. I mean... You know, right time, right place, opening game of the 2010 World Cup, everyone in South Africa watching, and you're the guy who was commentating through it. I was very, very impressed. I was telling people I knew you, and they were like, what? Because you can't really claim credit for that everywhere, right?
No, but I mean, I think it's only fair to mention that you were one of the people that kick-started my career, certainly. I mean, you were one of the people that encouraged me. You were one of the people that got me going in commercial spheres.
You would have done it anyway.
But it's amazing. You know, I bumped into Rena Broomberg the other day, if I can just mention. She mentioned to me, you know, because we both went off and started in commercial radio very young, younger than most other people. And she said to me, look at where you and Gareth both are now. And she said, you might not have been ready for radio as it was then, but look at the talent that you both had inherently because you've gone on to such success.
I'm so glad she said that to you. She never says anything nice like that to me.
Well, it would all go to your head.
So I thought I'd just share that with you.
Now I'm depressed because she would never say something like that to me. Most compliment. The biggest compliment I've ever got from her is that I have potential.
You do. You have phenomenal potential.
Yeah, clearly what she means by that is I haven't reached it.
Your beacon is so high, Gareth.
Yeah, sure.
That's the thing.
Let's get back to you. Let's not turn this into a Gareth Cliff interview. There's so much more to talk about with you. You've commentated on the Olympics.
Yes.
On World Cup football. Pretty much every major sporting event that there is on the calendar for anyone who is in sports commentary, you've touched the ceiling.
Maybe touching the ceiling might be saying is that I've gone the entire way already, which is frightening when you consider I'm in my 30s. But
you're just getting started. I mean, look, this is the kind of career you could have for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it is. It is. And that's what makes me excited about it, because I look around on the international feeds. Because when I work at the Olympic Games, just to explain to people, I don't work for one broadcaster. I work for the International Olympic Committee's broadcast wing. So the people who employ me are the International Olympic Committee. In other words, the organizing body or the governing body of the pinnacle of the sports world, which is, as a result, the sort of biggest commentary panel and most prestigious commentary panel you want to be on.
Now, is doping a big deal among commentators? Tell the truth.
You know, there are some commentators that are very opinionated on the matter, and there are other commentators that we
I mean, are you guys doping?
Are we doping? I mean, you've seen my six-pack.
Right, you must be. Clearly it's happening. Dwayne, when you go to the Olympics, what's it really like for a commentator? Because we know what it's like for the athlete. Sometimes it's really good, sometimes it's really bad. That Olympic Village is just like a big sex fest. And then they get these gold medals, silver medals, bronze medals, and they go back home, and sometimes they're regaled as heroes. Sometimes nobody notices that they're back. What's it like for commentators?
Well, it depends on the place. I mean, China is just all it wanted to do was impress everybody. So everybody that went there, whether it was an athlete or whether it was an official manager or a commentator, they wanted to do everything bigger and better. And Beijing
and
was...
They did.
There is no... London was never going to compete with Beijing when it came to bigger and better.
Right.
I know we've had a whole bigger and better discussion already on the show, but in terms of sporting events, Beijing was phenomenal. The London Games was very athlete central. In other words, everything was done to make the athletes as comfortable as possible and make their experience as pleasurable as possible around their athletic events.
And now Brazil is going to be horrendous for the athletes and the commentators and the spectators.
Do you know, everybody's saying to me, oh, you're going to get Zika, oh, you're going to this and die, and oh, God, aren't you concerned, and so on and so forth. And I look around and I'm going, well, the World Health Organization is basically saying that Rio is one of the last places you're likely to get it, and if you take a few precautions, nothing is likely to happen. And it's fair enough. I mean, that's one of the areas they've been concentrating all the efforts to get rid of Zika.
Is this a situation like we had in 2010 where people were saying, oh, South Africa is a terrible place, you don't want to go there
because you're going
to
die?
And the moment it starts, everybody starts to cheer about what a grand occasion it is. And I'm hoping that Rio is going to be one of those. I mean, certainly we saw that with the 2014 FIFA World Cup in Brazil as well. Opportunity, I was in São Paulo, and it was what a nightmare it was for Brazil leading up to it. But the moment the football kicked off, it was one-way fiesta. It was football all the way.
You and Ben were there for the World Cup in Brazil.
Yeah, I had a great time.
Yeah.
It's true.
So maybe it's just going to be fine.
Because that's what happens. Eventually, people then focus on all the right things. Because right now, they've got nothing else to focus on other than just cheap headlines. So as soon as things start happening, as soon as medals start getting won, there's other stories. People are like, oh, okay, yeah, it's the Olympics. Forgot about that. Because people are quite straightforward when it comes to sport.
Mm.
And even with the Springboks, they can have the worst week. You can have people stealing things, doping, whatever you want. When they run on that field and you've got a brandy and Coke in hand, people don't care.
Dwayne, do you get paid decently for this?
I do, but I don't do it for the money. I mean, this is something that obviously you know it's a decent living. I'm a freelancer. I mean, I do my work for the majority of work here for the SABC. Mm-hmm. But I choose to live in South Africa, and as a result, I freelance to the South African Broadcasting Corporation because A, it is the national broadcaster, and B, it's got the largest audience, and I've always felt that I need to entertain an audience, inform an audience, and the SABC has that grandest audience, as it were. I know there's a lot of debate and talk about what's going on at the SABC, but to be fair, I've never experienced anything untoward at the SABC. And I've,
you know, I get that. When I was there, I felt the same way. There were only one or two occasions where I felt that they were getting in my way.
And you were much deeper in the limelight. I mean, you were at the center of one of their big entities.
I suppose so. But I mean, isn't it also you're in a rarefied position? I don't mean to make you too self-conscious here, but you're doing all these amazing sports events. You're commentating on all of them. You're obviously very competent, but you're like a white dude. You know what I mean?
Do you know that I didn't actually realize this until I was sitting down.
You didn't realize that you were white.
But the point is, you get into a situation where you just
he thought
I'm
he was
just
black
a person.
The whole time.
I'm just a person. But the point is, I work in football, so to see white people around in football is fairly rare
in South Africa. Yeah.
And I was sitting in a meeting, and there was about 40 of us, and somebody pointed out, well, Dwayne is the only white person, and I. I was actually stunned. I'd never realized this before.
You don't think about it much.
No, you don't, because, you know, I'm just somebody who does my job, and the person next to me is somebody who does their job, and the person next to me is somebody who might not do their job, but I'd slap right, hopefully.
In that case, let me give you credit, because it's obviously due to the fact that you're so good at your job that should come first, that there is, you know, there's merit involved here.
Thank you. I like to think so.
Yeah,
I
mean, good for you.
But right. In terms of the Olympic Games, I've got to tell you, though, in terms of the Olympic Games, you asked what it's like for the athletes and the commentators. The one thing that I can tell you is that I'm really hoping the canteen is going to be different from London, because London had the worst canteen ever in terms of Olympic Games. Beijing had four floors of food to choose from. I'm talking about
dog and cat.
I mean, Flax is going to start salivating here, because there was so much food it wasn't even funny. There was Indian, there was Thai, there was Mediterranean, there was any type, and even had South African cuisine on a few occasions, and it wasn't just boerewors and pap. Okay, got to London and you had four choices each day.
And it was protein terrible. Bars.
Oh no, I lived on protein bars. Lived on protein bars.
What did they
bars
give? Because the English, of course, are not well known for their cuisine.
But. No. Can you believe it? For South African food, the one day, this was their very proud. I mean, they had Mexican food. They had a burrito. That was your option. Okay.
Nothing else.
Choice of other fillings, but it was a burrito. That was your Mexican option. And then they had a South African option, which was pap en bors. And the pap really didn't look very tasty and certainly wasn't made by a South African.
It was like lumpy.
It was terrible. It looked like bad, bad mealiepap. Very bad. And the boerewors was. Oh, it just looked dodgy. You looked at it and you were entirely disenchanted by it. Run off and go and eat another protein bar. So the one thing I'm really hopeful for at Rio is the canteen. But the one thing that the athletes I think need to be concerned about is the water in Rio. That's the one concern because
Ben's been talking about how body parts wash up and you basically will get dysentery. If you just sniff the water, you're too close to the surface of the water, right, Ben?
Well, yeah, they haven't really updated their systems since like the 50s. That's just obviously open sewage is different. But the water is a big concern, yeah.
Huge concern.
So are you planning then on just surviving on bottled water the whole time to be safe?
I am bottling water all the way. I know people say that
he's taking one of those jerry cans that you attach to a Jeep in the desert.
5 liters, yes.
Yeah. Take that with him.
One for each hand.
Is there a lot of boozing that happens as well while you're over there?
There's a fair amount. I'm not going to lie. I mean, obviously, there's a reason that there's a lot of alcohol and condoms that get distributed around Olympic villages and that.
Right.
I mean, those two things go hand in glove.
I mean, you're working, so you also have to maintain some kind of composure, and you can't pitch up for your commentary job and you're hungover as hell. But the spectators have the time of their lives.
They do. The spectators have a fantastic time. And this is one of the concerns that you worry about Brazilian spectators being in Qatar for the 2022 FIFA World Cup, because Brazilian spectators often wear nothing more than a thong to a game. And I'm not talking about the Australian thong, which is what we call flip-flops. I'm talking about the
Brazilian
thong as we understand it.
It's like on another level
This is it. I mean, Brazilian fans have a fantastic time. And they add to the atmosphere, and that's the great thing about it. I mean, I'm going to be sitting on the 5th of August, I'm going to be sitting in the Maracanã, and I think I'm allowed to mention this by
Go
now,
on.
But I'll be one of the voices that welcome the entire world to Rio on the 5th of August. So I'm going to be in the Maracanã for the opening ceremony.
What kind of a seat do you have for such a thing?
I have the best seat in the house,
right
in the center, and we're generally with the VIPs. So all around me, Prince Albert of Monaco comes and says hello from time to time. He talks about having a braai in South Africa. He's phenomenal.
You've spoken to him a couple of times.
Yeah.
Right? His wife is from Boksburg.
He's a fantastic guy. There are no errors and graces.
Her Royal Highness, Princess Charlene. What am I saying, Charlene from Boksburg?
That's it.
How dare I?
So you're going to get there, and you're there for the whole time, right?
Yeah, I'm actually going to be there for 9 odd weeks because I arrive a week early for the conference. There are things that we need to discuss, obviously, for the conference, including things like what should happen if there is a protest, what should happen if a game is interrupted by, et cetera, et cetera. So we go through those details so that we try to limit as much. We try to be as diplomatic as possible about any situation that could occur anywhere, because you go out to an entire audience around the world.
Everyone drinks the water and they all end up pooing all over the streets. You've got to have a plan.
You definitely don't want to be talking about it. Let's put it that way. We certainly don't want to see it on camera. So we go there for the conference first. Then
this
after
is why
that,
you're not going, and Duane is.
This is after that, and then I go to the Olympic Games for the duration. I'm doing the opening ceremony. I'm doing the closing ceremony. I'm doing various sports in between, mainly football and handball, and including the men's football final, which I'm excited about because, again, Maracanã, Brazil's never won an Olympic gold medal in football, and the opportunity with Neymar and in front of their home crowds, and after the disappointment of 2014, the possibility of a gold medal for the men's football team is just immense. And can you imagine what the atmosphere would be like?
I've often wondered what you do for preparation when you have to commentate on something, particularly a football match. You have to know the names of the players, you have to know the positions they play in, you have to know who the coach is, you have to pay attention to their record. What kind of material do you have around you in the commentary box while you're busy doing this?
Well, I mean, I think you've seen some of my score sheets before, where I sort of consolidate various.
Because you have to be a mathematician.
Notes. Yeah,
you have to have an extraordinary memory. You have to be able to think, speak, and write things down that are all different things at the same time.
Yes. And that's a talent that very few people I found can actually master. And I'm delighted to say that over years I've managed to do as much. But certainly I read incessantly. I watch as much as I can. I mean, sport is no longer something I do just for the enjoyment of it. Sport is something that I do because it is my job. I love it. I've always loved sport.
Have you ever been distracted while you've been commentating? So you've been writing something down, thinking of something else, and then you've said something like, "Oh, and Neymar's coming up close to the goals, and what a twat." Or something like that.
Thankfully, nothing like that. Thankfully, nothing like that. The amount of focus you need and concentration is significant. But there have been a couple of slips of the tongue, but nothing offensive, and certainly nothing.
No one would notice.
But well, there might be a few things where it's a wrong word that you use every now and then, where you're thinking about something completely different. But thankfully, nothing offensive over the years, or certainly nothing that I know of.
Never had one of those situations like that one that girl who was on the TV news, and she had like a migraine headache, and she started talking complete crap.
No.
That's never happened. Thank goodness.
Thankfully, that's
please
never happened.
Please don't embarrass us. No. Please, Dwayne.
And with these things, that you often just the lone voice. Do you ever get an option, or with certain broadcasts, you have to then be paired up with someone?
There are times for the bigger events, they do pair us up with either experts or technical people who have technical insights into certain things. Certainly, so the gymnastics and diving commentators, for example, are always paired with people that were either judges or athletes in those sports, because they are very, very technical sports. They do the same at the Winter Olympic Games, things like figure skating, the ice skating and that, but because there is so much nuance in the judging process. But in other sports, I mean, you know, basketball, usually when I commentate basketball in various parts of the world, I have an analyst with me. At the Olympic Games, if I'm doing basketball, there is no analyst.
So you can switch off your microphone and you can go, Gonzalez, what is that called when they do that with the ball?
If you don't know, Gareth, you should not be commentating on a world feed. If you do not know what a hukule is, you can't be doing handball.
Who's that tall guy again? You can't say that to him off mic and then switch your mic on and go, and it looks like Raul Castro is coming in to try and...
I have seen that happen on numerous occasions. I've heard that happening all over. It happens all the time, but I've never seen it happen on some of the bigger world feeds. And I mean, that's one of the things that I draw validation from. Is it, you know, I don't go searching for awards or attention or anything like that. But one thing that I do draw a great validation from is the fact that I'm some little guy who lives in South Africa and minds his own business and does the best that he can at what he does. And every 4 years, the people that are in charge of the biggest sporting event in the world phone me up and say, "We want you.
Come and have some fun."
From those few commentators that they select from around the world, they've come to me this time and said, "We want you to do the opening ceremony. To do the closing ceremony."
Well, and let's just remind ourselves, this is Dwayne at the last opening ceremony.
And backstage coverage we're seeing for the very first time.
And over to Dwayne.
Well, a very, very heavy rotation tonight. We had a very Darrison, but let's go ahead, Terrace Chase English for the bit. They had the pet.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What was that?
I mean,
she had a stroke or something.
You've come a long way. Your voice was different.
Thank you, my buddy. Yeah. There's one thing that I do fear is that corpsing on air, it's happened to the very best of people where they can't stop laughing.
Explain what that is to someone.
Corpsing.
Yeah. Yeah, where you literally start laughing, and one person starts, and then everybody starts, and then nobody can stop laughing. That is one of the biggest fears that I have. I have nightmares about this. Shane Warne used to have nightmares about Sachin Tendulkar marching down the pitch and smashing him over his head for six. I have nightmares about corpsing.
I can imagine it happening.
And okay, so like this is all pie in the sky stuff because no one ever gets to just go, "Oh, I'm going to commentate the opening ceremony or whatever." Is this still something you really want to do? You're still aiming towards getting, like the gig that you still want?
You know, I there was a time when
This is the biggest.
Yeah, this is. I mean,
you really you'd be stretched to think there's something bigger.
Well, you're like Michael Jackson. You should quit after
this. There are people that love rugby, for example, that say to me, "You've never commentated on a Rugby World Cup." And it's true, I've been to Rugby World Cups and I've covered them, but I've never actually commentated for a world feed for the Rugby World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, for me, a Rugby World Cup, it's a great event, don't get me wrong. But it's a sport that is limited to a handful of countries.
Exactly.
There are people that talk about football and they say to me, you know, you've never worked on the FIFA panel. And I haven't worked on the biggest of the FIFA panels for the World Cup proper, for the Confed Cup, different story. Mm-hmm. But there are times that I think I'd like to do FIFA panel work for the World Cup proper. But it seems to be exclusively for English commentators. And English, I mean those who voted out of Britain, out of the European Union. Not English as in English speaking. And that's one of the limitations is that, yes, I am South African, and yes, there are certain biases internationally against us. And I've realized that over the years as well. But that's not to say that we can't make a great job. But I think already, as you say, I mean, the pinnacle is the Olympic Games. And for me, working at OBS is just an enormous, enormous honor.
All right, we're going to do something fun now. We're going to let Dwayne commentate on a cheetah versus a gazelle in the wild. You have to commentate like it was a sporting event. I know you can do this. So even if you make shit up, I don't care. I would love to hear you use your commentating voice. Do it as a live play-by-play. You know, whatever happens on the screen, you will then explain to people who are listening all over the world what you'll tell them what's going on here. Dwayne DeLocca, over to you.
All right.
Maybe make the screen bigger.
All right, okay. Hang on. All right, go for it, Dwayne.
There is the arse of a gazelle. Yes, oh, there is the cheetah, the yes. Acinonyx jubatus.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Oh, there, that's right.
He knows his stuff, even with animals. Go on.
There we go. Acinonyx jubatus, sizing up his prey within a few hundred yards. But this cheetah only has short bursts of speed, can light up the ground though, needs to sneak up on its prey, still unaware, obviously not downwind. The gazelle now looks up, notices something, cheetah, down into the grass, just edging closer.
Yes.
Oh, the shoulder blades are higher, the eyes are slit, the ears drop back. Tail is flat. This cheetah can hit bursts of up to 100 kilometers per hour in just a few steps. The gazelle can reach nothing more than about 75 kilometers per hour. But this gazelle is still completely unaware. This cheetah, biding its time. Well, the gazelle goes back to grazing. The cheetah thinking, I'll be grazing in a while.
This is good so far. You've got us all roped in. The suspense.
Now, cheetah sees this moment, looks to pounce, huge burst of pace, hits the gazelle out of nowhere, and the gazelle is completely stunned, discombobulated. Oh!
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, the gazelle goes down.
Oh, he's
the
up
cheetah
again.
Has let it go.
There's another
cheetah. It's allowing the cubs to come in now. This is part of the training for the cubs. It's a mother who's teaching her young to hunt.
Oh, that's fantastic. You got me very excited there. That's terrific.
That's a very cool video. I mean, like the mother comes in, PKs the gazelle, and the kids come in and go, yay!
This is it.
This is fantastic.
How embarrassing for the gazelle. It's about to die, and it's being pawed at by these little kids.
By these cubs.
What for you is the most exciting part of, for example, doing the Olympic Games? Is it that tension before the thing starts? Is it while the action's happening? Do you get involved? Because you have to be impartial as a commentator, too.
You do, yes, and it's very important. It's the very first thing that they tell you is you're reminded of at every conference to be completely impartial. And that's one of the reasons why some people gave me a little bit of flack at the last Olympic Games. They said I wasn't excited enough when South Africa scored against Sweden and in the Banyana-Banyana match against Sweden, for example. Do we have to have that as bed music? Thank you, Gareth.
It's the Olympics. Are you kidding? This is massive. I'm so impressed with you.
But in terms of what makes it greater than anything else is the fact that, you know, my brother and I grew up living the Olympic Games. Sport has always been an enormous thing in our family. And the Olympic Games is the pinnacle. I wanted to represent my country at the Olympic Games. That was a dream that I'd had.
In what sport would you have done this?
You dream to represent your country. You dream to win an Olympic gold medal. I was too young to decide what I wanted to do. And then realized that I was the kind of sportsman that tried hard and wasn't necessarily the best at anything. And I think it translates into commentary as well. I'm not the most talented commentator, but I like to think that I'm fairly well educated. And certainly when it comes to work, the amount of work that I put in behind the scenes, whether it's reading, research, making sure I contact people, the right people, speaking to the right people, and growing that knowledge base so that I have that knowledge ready to impart at any given moment, I think I do that better than just about anybody. And I think that's one of the things that stands me in good stead. But growing up with that kind of feeling towards the Olympic Games, to work on the Olympic Games, just every time I sit down and watch an event or commentate an event, to know that you're part of history that is... I mean, in 100 years' time, if people search for the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games of Rio... The first Olympic Games in Latin America, they're going to be hearing my voice.
You know how we look back to like 1920 and we listen to those voices and it sounds ridiculous to us. This will be Dwayne in a few years' time.
And it appears that Usain Bolt is lining up at the 100-meter start. And he looks like he's going in for it and is going to be the winner. Yes, he's very confident. He's starting to posture at the start of the race, making his trademark moves. And, of course, the other runners are all looking at him. You can see a slight look of envy in their eyes. What an exciting Olympic Games.
I would give you a 9.5 out of 10 for that. Game.
Listen, enough about all this nonsense. I want to ask you one or two other things and tell you that there's a compliment here from Inati, who said, I could literally see what he was describing with the cheetah and the gazelle. So you see, you have a knack for this. But it's obviously something that you thought about quite a lot. When you get to Brazil, when you've experienced the highs of all of this stuff and you go back to your hotel room, who's the person that you want to talk to the most about it? I mean, share your experience with.
My brother.
Really?
Yeah. My brother used to be a national junior athlete, and he and I, we're very close. We're very close.
Wow.
He's the one person that's – you know, I was going through a really, really rough patch a few years ago, and he said to me, remember this, things work out best for those that make the best of the way things work out. And that's all he needed to say.
That's cool.
You know, those are the sort of things that my brother and I mean, he's my best friend. He's everything to me.
Younger, older?
Younger.
Who's the most famous person in sport that you've met?
Oh, God. The list
give me
a couple
of names. Just five names, then.
Well, pick any sportsman.
Give me in football.
Okay, look. In football, you went from Messi?
Yeah. You met Messi?
Yeah, he's not the most... talkative? Doesn't strike me as the brightest crayon in the box, let's put it that way.
So basically, he's a football machine.
But a phenomenally talented footballer. Sure. His first touch on a football is something just... It's
met Cristiano Ronaldo, Mbappe's old boyfriend?
I've never met Cristiano Ronaldo, strangely enough. He's one of the few people in sport who I've never met. But I'll tell you this much. One of the most exciting interviews that I had, and one of the best, I think David Beckham was probably the biggest of the footballers, come to think of it. Just David Beckham, his name is bigger than Messi's or Ronaldo's, I think, for many. But in terms of, and what a gentleman. He treats you like an equal, which is something I give him great respect for. But the interview that I enjoyed the most, and a lot of people have nothing good to say about him these days, and lots of vitriolic outbursts towards him, is Lance Armstrong. I can understand it.
Really?
But let me tell you, the interviews that I've done with him were fantastic because we were being mic'd up for a
scoundrel.
We were being mic'd up for a few minute interview the one day, and it was being recorded.
Right.
So they were mic'ing us up and sitting down, and Lance Armstrong comes and sits down next to me. And at this stage, he was still dating Sheryl Crow. And just to get the conversation going, I thought, you know, say something. You throw it out there. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I thought, let me throw something, that a guy would say.
But if you bring up Sheryl Crow, you really are taking a risk because you don't know the nature of their relationship. I mean, maybe they've just fallen out.
No, I didn't.
And you bring him up, and you bring it up, and he could hate you.
This wasn't long before they ended up splitting up, of course.
Damn.
But I said to him, oh, man, don't take this the wrong way, but Sheryl Crow has great legs, doesn't she? And he just lit up. He was talking about Sheryl Crow's legs. And from there, it was just two guys having a random conversation.
Two perverts talking about some poor woman who has no idea that you're talking about.
Have you seen Sheryl Crow's legs? I'm a leg man. I will never deny that.
Isn't that how Jacob Zuma starts every interview? But he's just talking
interview.
About...
He's That's
just talking
how he starts every reporter. Every summit meeting with a world leader. Your wife is beautiful in a miniskirt. All right, well, listen, Dwayne, we're very, very proud of you. Go out there and kill like you always do.
Thank you.
I can't wait to watch the Olympic opening ceremony, knowing that you're going to be the voice behind it.
Can I mention one more thing?
Are you the only English commentator mentioning who will do the Olympic opening ceremony?
There's usually a handful of us, but it'll be two or three of us at least that do the opening ceremony. But at least it's unscripted, and we get to bring our own personalities across.
Zwelle just says, "Have you met Usain Bolt?"
Yeah, I met him, but I haven't spent time with him. Unfortunately, okay. I've never got a chance.
Well, maybe this is your year.
Maybe. I'm doing 2 days of athletics during the Olympic Games as well. They've asked me to do 2 days. Although it's field events rather than track, I will be there and I will get to watch two of his events, the 200-meter final and the men's 4x100-meter final as well.
Oh, wow.
So, again, like Beijing where I missed the 100 but saw the 200 and 4x1, and London I saw all three of his races. Although, talk about doping. Justin Gatlin's medal ceremony in London for the 100, booing. Really? Huge cheers for bronze, boos for the silver when Gatlin got up, and of course the enormous cheers for Bolt. I wonder if we're going to see that again as well. But the other thing that I wanted to mention as well is that I'm also going to be, I haven't announced this anywhere yet, is I'm also going to be doing the Paralympic Games. They've asked me to, for the first time,
about that.
I'm doing the Paralympic Games, which I'm excited about. I'm very excited about, because South Africa is actually going to bring some medals. But
That's great.
It's great that they have faith in me to do
both these.
It's
not as much fun without Oscar Pistorius there, though, right?
I was going to say Natalie de Toy, but okay.
So, and how do you feel about Mr. Gary Player being the flag bearer for the South African team?
Here we go. He's the biggest Gary Player fan in the world. He worships him.
No, but seriously, who do you reckon should be? They haven't announced it yet, have they?
No, they haven't. I still believe that Chad Leclerc's got to be the guy to carry the flag, because you look at all the prospective gold medalists, you look at all the greatest stars at the moment. The one who's won gold medals before and who's likely to win gold medals at these games is Chad Leclerc for me. I mean, he's the obvious one. But I would have no problem if they went with somebody who was completely in form at the moment, like Caster Semenya.
Gary Player. Caster Semenya, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I meant to say Gary Player, of course. Yes. Yes, Ben.
All right. Listen, Dwayne, good luck to you, man. And thanks for popping in to see us this morning. We'll all be watching World Cup opening ceremony. Dwayne Delacqua,
Olympic Games.
Star commentator from South Africa. One of our friends, someone you've got to listen to. Now you know the voice. In case you didn't before, you have no excuse. Chap, clap and cheer loudly when you hear Dwayne's voice come out across the airwaves of the world on the 5th of August. This is very exciting.
Gareth,
thanks for coming, man.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. All the best. There we go. Dwayne Delacqua, everybody. Wow. What an amazing opportunity this is for South Africa to shine. See, we're not just good at some sports and not good at others. We're also the best at commentary. And Dwayne is our superstar gold medalist. Look at him. The guy's a winner. What can we say? It's 14 after 8. On the way, we're going to speak to two brothers who are going to take up a cycling challenge to raise money for Headway. That's, of course, a charity that I've supported for a long time, and you can help too. They're going to raise funds for Headway. Damien, the one brother, has a brain injury, but he now leads a full and normal life and would like to give back. And his brother, Voldek, is here as well. They're going to come in and talk to us about what they're planning to do. Then we'll speak to Simtrelile Rubella, who is the dude who has basically, he's studied psychology, he's a student activist, he has two little brothers, but the main reason we're talking to him is about his new novel called To the Bitter End, which will focus on the history of the former trans guy, which I think is an area of our history that we don't necessarily know enough about. So it's something I'd be interested to talk to him about too. All of that and more on the way. Thank you to Dwayne Delacqua. It is 8:15. CliffCentral.com.